Blind people use the same kind of language that seeing people do. Real seeing does not take place with the eyes, but in the mind. I see what you mean. You look at the computer manual and see nothing. You look at Greek or Hebrew letters and see nothing. At a funeral or wedding, certainly on Easter, where a majority of a congregation are non-churchgoers, a pastor looks at a sea of blank faces. They hear scriptures, sermons, hymns, prayers. Nothing registers. Having eyes, they do not see. Not without accident, the festival of the presentation of Jesus falls on February 2, that day when days lengthen into Lent and the sun breaks forth from its captivity in the south to begin her speedy northern journey to Easter. Candlemas is not a day of light, but of promised light. Winter's long night is stripped of its darkness to begin revealing Christ, who is the brightness of the Father's light, light from light, true God from true God, the true Epiphany. The ritual of Mary's purification may have been as insignificant to her as that festival is to us today. Perhaps 100 or so people might have seen Mary, Joseph, and the child Jesus go into the temple. That's only an estimate. Only the priest Simeon saw who they really were. Others in Luke's gospel eventually saw who Jesus was. Even with explicit Old Testament explanations pointing to Christ's death and resurrection, the Emmaus disciples had only burning hearts. They had to wait for the full revelation of Jesus in the sacramental bread. In the temple's dim darkness, Simeon saw all of God's intentions in one brilliant light. Jesus was not simply the bringer of salvation. He was himself salvation. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The light breaking in from the cross brought his winter of sin and sorrow to a brilliant conclusion. Jesus was more than one priest's personal savior, but he was God, unveiling himself as the Gentiles' light and the glory of Israel. Epiphany has no better definition. Atonement, justification, salvation formed one substance in Jesus. Death no longer mattered. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Physical proximity or lengthy exposure to the truth does not guarantee seeing the truth. A recent convert often sees more than a lifelong member. A child sees more than an adult. No human being was ever the Holy Spirit's instrument as the Virgin Mary was. The Son of the Most High was her son. Her titles and rank are superior to all prophets and apostles, Theotokos and Mater Dei, the bearer and the mother of God. Higher than the cherubim, more glorious than the seraphim, she had the Lord's salvation in her womb, at her breast, and in her arms. But like Joseph, her reaction is only astonishment. Full faith lies at the edge of her grasp. Like adults at a children's Christmas program, but she did not really know what it was all about. She ponders great things in her heart, but seeing, she does not see. Today we induct two parish pastors, Rick Newfer and Tim Poles, into the seminary community. They have experienced people on the edge of faith, but whose path into the fuller mysteries of our religion is darkened, as ours also once was, by unbelief. The eternal God is hidden within the flesh of an ordinary-looking baby. Ordinary words of sinful preachers are vehicles for the eternal gospel. So the people hear, but they don't really hear. Luther's Deus Absconditus explains it all. To grasp and find God, he hides himself in creaturely forms. But what attracts also offends. Seeing, they really don't see anything at all. The appearance of salvation in human form brings its own curse on unbelief. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. He is the sign spoken against. Salvation brings its own sorrows to believers. A sword will pierce through your own soul also. Suffering with and for Christ will separate the faithful from the impostors. The thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. Preaching miracles is always a problem. They must mean more than confirming that Jesus is God. The recovery of the sight of the two blind men near Jericho was a puzzle to a seminary student. I was not satisfied with Martin Franzmann's idea that the story was about spiritual seeing. 40 years and a few days ago, Franzmann proved to be right. Disciples with eyes to see Jesus desired power and glory, and they did not see him. Men with no eyes, but who cried to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us," actually saw Jesus for who he was. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Some years back, a rock opera had these words, "I want to see my Lord." Someone corrected any Christian thoughts attached to those words. They had to do with some Hindu deity. That kind of thing was the rage in those days. Still, the words kept bothering. We all want to see Jesus, but we already have. In bread and wine, we see the salvation which God has prepared before all people. Our sacrament is not a private sectarian ritual, but a meal to which the Father invites the nations. Come, for all things are prepared. That supper is the light which lightens the Gentiles and which is Israel's glory. We stand on heaven's threshold, and death disappears into past tense. These are not my ideas, but Luther's, who placed Simeon's words right after the reception of Christ's body in the sacrament. Or was it St. Luke himself who, with Simeon's words, deliberately pointed us to the Emmaus Eucharist, where divine light shines into the darkness of sin, evil, and death? Or is such magnificent theology really the work of the Holy Spirit? Simeon was a righteous and devout man, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ.